Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning come.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
I wish I could live in a fantasy world where everything just makes in the words of my song, your love is all that I ever need. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost. Thoughts in my own reality. But all you got to do is, baby, hold on to me. When I'm not that free, your love is all that I need. Like an arrow through time to the arms that my destiny holds. When war is all done and my father comes home, I love will never, 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 never grow old. And when I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do for me, baby, is just hold on to me. Can't you see I'm not that free? Your love is all that I ever need. My American dream.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day, with this faith. With this faith, I will go out with you and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrow. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day.
I want everybody to look at the board and hear me sing a song. Rainbow.
My name is Yom Sufar Reed, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. We're here to bring to you the study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his heritage, the characteristics of his people that had a constructive and positive relationship with him and those that didn't. We're here to do some clinical analysis and our assessment to come to some firm conclusion. And once we have found those firm conclusions, make the right application. But I would be amiss if I didn't make mention of Brother Uku in Virginia, a brother with mental health disabilities that was murdered by some of us and some of them. I simply call them Stevens, those guys, just like the Django. We always got some Stevens, don't we? And they've just added three more that worked at the so-called mental health hospital. They smothered the man to death. But as I said in our studies, they affect every aspect of our lives, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical health, whether it's hand up, don't shoot, whether it's Tamir Rice, less than 7 seconds on sight, he's shot down like a common criminal, a little boy, 12 years old. Like Sandra Bland, stopped at a traffic stop and ended up 3 days later dead in a jail cell. It's to be expected in this Western Hemisphere. Don't get too comfortable. The evidence speaks for itself. That's why these studies are imperative for your safety, welfare, and safeguard. There is no hope for you. There is no American dream. The only thing left for you is nightmare on Elm Street. You better stop lying to yourselves and each other. That's your problem. You like to lie to yourself. It's going to get better every 4 years. I vote for that guy. I like him. He's going to do something for me. What did Obama do for you? Obama made it quite convenient and well for the gay people. I don't think he did much for you. So the next time you're talking about voting every 4 years and every 2 years, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. What you need to be doing, basically, is study your creator. Who put you in this situation? Why are you in this situation? How can you eradicate yourself from this situation? And that's why we study the God of Abraham. Another reason, Isaac and Jacob. And we studied the characteristics of the people that relied on him, that seek the right answers and got the right solutions, not by way of the Mizrahites or anyone else. They got their solution from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they didn't go scatter-minded all throughout the place looking for love in all the wrong faces and places in the case of Dina. You don't know who Dina was? Dina was the sister of Reuben, Levi, Simeon, Benjamin, Joseph, and so on and so forth. She was looking for love in the wrong places and wrong faces. She was looking for solutions. She got none. And universally speaking, we are like Dina somewhere, looking for love in all the wrong faces and places. And don't get any solutions, none whatsoever. That's why we strongly advise and suggest that you let the Most High be your rock, your shield, your high tower, your buckler. Because therein lies your solution. As Cartrell likes to see, likes to say and see, the Most High is your antidote. That's why relationships are important with the Elohim. Keeping and maintaining relationship with him. Keeping and maintaining relationship with one another. Not just any old relationship. You know, we like to gather together, but for the wrong reasons. And when we gather together, alcohol is involved, curse words, messing with folk men and messing with folk women, and then pow, 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 and then blue and white lights come. We need to learn how to come together under constructive reasons. To learn the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And learn to interact with one another. To unify together. To be one, under one auspices, one flag. Because no matter if you have mental health problems, no matter if you're a 12-year-old boy, no matter if you're a woman, in every aspect of your life, they control everything. And they can kill you if they want. Bottom line. You need safeguards. You need solutions. You need answers. No, there's only one providing that. I see. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. He answered them and studied the characteristics of his people. In this case, in the case of Joseph and his brothers, and Yaqub / Israel, his father. We're about to delve into these studies shortly. Before we do, I'd like to introduce my friends and brother and sister. Sister Abigail from New York City. Brother Cartrell from New York City. They are instrumental people in these studies. We are on equal footing. There's no big I, little you here. We're all in this together. We understand what it's about family and friends and nation. Everybody plays a role here. I can't be Cartrell. Cartrell can't be me. I certainly can't be Sister Avia. She's too cute. And she can't be too me. I'm kind of a rough neck. But they can be the best they can be under the auspices of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And certainly you can too in these studies, by virtue of these studies. And let me introduce them to you. And here's what I know about them. Before you get started and all that questions to what I know about them, what I should know about you, which is they love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And their brothers and sisters as themselves. And the main reason why I know that, I've seen them in play when it comes to brothers and sisters. They are compassionate. They are tender, they are kind, they are considerate, and they exercise common courtesy. But you can't do it with everybody, but for the most part, they do it with most of them. And they are here as often as they can be to assist each other in these studies that we provide for you. And they don't get paid for it. Also, they're not seeking any personal adulation. They're not asking you to have a parade or build a statue for them. They simply want you to get it fundamentally right. Your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and your relationship with one another. If it's good enough for the LM, it's certainly good enough for me. And it should be good enough for you. Let me bring them on for you. So, Savia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and may the Most High bless you too, brother. All glory and praise to Yah. And as always, it's good to be back, and I hope all is well.
Shalom. It's good to have you back, sister. And all is well under the auspices of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Bless his holy name. Praise Yah.
Good to have
you back. They towed her back to you. And now Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. May the Most High bless you and bless you out, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'd like to say shalom to Sister Avia. May the Most High bless you as well. And all the family that's out there that's listening to us, praise God.
May you keep on blessing me, brother.
Thank you, sis. Tonight I got my grandchildren over.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
fun and games.
Mm-hmm. I almost didn't make the show.
How come, Cartrell?
Getting involved with them. I lost track of time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of mine lived with us during the course of the weekday, and I deal with her every day. But she's 9 years old, and she's not too hard to deal with. You know, I just tell her, get her granddaddy look, she's going to get out of the way. She likes to be on granddaddy's side, so I give her the granddaddy look, she's going to get out of the way.
Yeah, my granddaughter is a little baby.
Trying to
get used to people.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So me and her was doing a little bonding.
Right.
And then her brother got out of school. We came over. He's like about 6 years old.
Oh, okay. He's a little fellow too.
Yeah. So if he come in, he want to watch kids YouTube. And throw
is
a
he
fit
the one that,
if he gonna turn to it. Huh?
Oh, is he the one that used to get rough with you, Cottrell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He want to test me out with the Spider-Man stuff he's looking at.
Huh? Does he try you again?
No, because sometimes he hurts himself trying to hurt me. And he figures he doesn't even love me.
What's that, Cottrell? He hurt himself trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Cottrell, Sustavia.
Yes, sir.
Any commentary on what I just spoke about? We good to go into studies.
I'm good.
I mean, you made it out so well. You would think that this show is like a therapeutic show for our people. But it kind
right.
of sort
it
of
is.
Is.
It is, Katria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Ready to go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Katria. Thank you very much, Sustavia. Thank you very much, fellow students, for attending with us tonight. And most importantly, thank you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, for being with us, directing and ordering our steps and giving us wisdom and understanding. We're very appreciative. And bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Turn to chapter 47 of Bereshit. Somebody call it Genesis. That is not the correct name. The correct name is Bereshit. That's the Hebrew name for it. Not the Greek name for it, which basically means in the beginning in the mind of Yah, beginning of life and existence, brought to you by Moses the prophet. Great shot. All right. We finally found out that Yaqub/Israel has been brought to Mizraim to reconnect with his son Joseph. Joseph has instructed his brothers, his father, and anybody else that could understand the protocol and procedure when they meet Pharaoh about what their occupations are. Because Joseph knows what's going on. He knows the land. He's been on the ground. He's telling them what's going to work for them instead of what's on them. He knows it's much more advantageous to be in control of your destiny by being in control of your food sources and anyone else for that matter. We know that by experiencing these Western captivities, now don't we? The Native Americans found that out when they killed their buffalo, now don't they? Or rather, didn't they? When you control someone's food sources, you can control the people in some respect. But not to the degree that you're trying to mistreat, dominate, and abuse them. We wouldn't like that. But the Most High knew you had to be in control of your own food sources. So he put us in a prime position to be in control of our land. Zola, knowing the lay of the land, knew what was advantageous. And when you know something, you need to share something to your brothers and sisters and your siblings and your father and mother. When you know something, share something. He shared this information with his father, his brothers and sisters, their wives, the little children that could understand. He shared this information. And now they're about to go before the Pharaoh, being introduced to the Pharaoh. Let's see what transpires. And Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. Indeed, they are in the land of Goshen. They're here. And he took five men. See, you can't take everybody. See, we like when we doing business, you can't take everybody with you in the family. You know, there's somebody in the family going to say the wrong thing or talk too much. And I said it right there. And I'm pretty sure the five men he took were responsible, and they could check their mouths. He took five one of his, from among his brothers and presented them.
So,
yeah, go ahead, Contreras.
Yes. So he prepared them for what
exactly.
they were about to meet.
Exactly.
And they were ready. Right?
They were ready. Preparation, Cottrell. Preparation. You always tell people this all the time. Prepare yourself before the Most High comes. Don't wait till the last minute.
That's
you
right.
always said prepare yourself. Preparation is good, Cottrell. That's why we do these studies too. Preparation. Thank you,
especially if you're going before a king. You exactly. just can't appear before a king any other way.
Exactly. My point exactly, Kadriel. Preparation. We need to prepare each other. Because a lot of people are ill-equipped to approach people of high stature. And you have to be prepared for that. Every time Dick and Harriet are not equipped, I've been before great men, so-called great men in this Western Hemisphere. And you know what they say about me, Cottrell? The universal white race. Saying? Here's what they say. He doesn't speak like a nigger, so to say. See, I know how to read between white men's conversation. You know, I know how they say it. He talks intelligently. and really, he don't tell nothing. Now, he a jokey joke with you. But he's not going to say anything derogatory to you or anything about his own business to the degree of latitude that they have a hand up on it. He'll tell you a little joke that's funny, but a lot of people don't know when I joke, Cottrell. I don't really reveal nothing, and I don't really try to denigrate people. I said something that you know don't make no sense, and you laugh at the joke. And I don't talk niggerishes. Not meaning I'm going up there talking like I'm a white boy. I don't talk like a white boy. But I do talk intelligently when I deal with certain people. And I, when my hair down among my people, I still speak somewhat intelligently. You see what I'm saying? There's a time and place for everything. And we need to learn that. We need to, when people talk about you, they need to say, oh, he don't tell you much, but he's a pretty nice guy. He's friendly and whatnot. And he's intelligent, but he ain't going to tell you much. See, we go somewhere, Cartier, we want to tell everything we know and then some of other folk business too. We need to stop that. What with the business we need to be sharing is real business, about business. We need to be, when they put a camera in our face, get the camera out of my face. I ain't got nothing to talk about. But see, we want to always jump in the camera, don't know how to talk, what to talk about, and how to talk about what is that, a word? Even a little baby get on it. Like that's a word. We need to learn to exercise our intelligence, and we need to teach our children to exercise their intelligence and learn how to comport themselves and learn what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. Not a whole lot of nonsense that doesn't make any sense to anybody but themselves. And that's preparation, Cottrell. Keyword, preparation. Like Joseph is preparing his brother, the one he feels is qualified to go before Pharaoh.
And what's the difference this time around? His brothers are heeding his counsel and his advice, right?
Mm-hmm. Look at brother. He ain't got no more problem with these brothers. These the kind of brother, when you show a fat knee got grease in it, they believe it. They don't keep questioning. These brothers,
he told him exactly. He told him exactly what Pharaoh was going to ask him, and he gave him the right answer. Told him, if Pharaoh asks you this, tell him this.
Exactly, Cottrell. And they didn't have. He didn't have no problem with them brothers. Not after that. Not after their experiences. Thank you, Cottrell. And all that they possessed had come to the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land. They're here. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what he was informed, he's going to ask you this. What is your occupation? And in response, they responded like their brother advised them. And they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, but we also are fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks. Everything is in famine. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. They were humble. They were respectful. They showed common courtesy. They didn't come in there talking about, look at you. We Hebrew Israelites, you need to give us mine. So-and-so this. Unfortunately, some of us didn't learn that, Katria. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying,
hey,
yes, brother.
People might try to, you know, figure out why with Jacob having so much cattle and flocks and herds,
mm-hmm.
would the famine affect them? But he
right.
just explained it, that
mm-hmm.
the grazing for the cattle is not there. If there's not grazing for the cattle, there's herds and sheep and flocks, and there's no water for them, they're going to die.
They're going to die. That's just that on that. And the famine seems to be coming much more severe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katriel. Then Pharaoh mm-hmm. spoke to Joseph, saying, your father, your brothers have come to you. The land of misery is before you. Have your father and brother dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, let them then make them chief herdsmen over my lives. I trust you. I trust you. You've been taking care of business. So if you know somebody among your people that's competent, make them chief herdsmen over my livestock too, the Pharaoh says. Then Joseph brought in his father, Yaakov, and set him before Pharaoh. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Yaakov, how old are you? I guess he was looking good. And Yaakov said to Pharaoh, the days of years of my pilgrimage are now 130 years. Few and evil has been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers. And I ain't got father, my father. You know, and I've been having hard times in them years. And I hadn't reached the age of my fathers, which, you know, they lived quite a long time in the days of their pilgrimage. So Yaakov blessed Pharaoh and went out from there before Pharaoh. Joseph situated his father and his brother and gave them a possession in the land of Mizraim and the best of the land. Because of what Joseph had put forth, because of his trustworthiness and dependability, he was able to offer them the best of the land and the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. Joseph deals with the famine, and the famine seems to be increasing, getting worse by worse. It doesn't seem to be abating. It seems to be getting much more severe. And people had to make severe choices as a result of this, because that bread wasn't for free, not for some folks. For Joseph, because of his special relationship with the Pharaoh, he could offer opportunities for his family because of his trustworthy disability, his dependability, his trustworthiness, his honestness, his capabilities, that he was able to offer those to his family. But everybody else had to pay. Even Mizraimites had to pay for this bread. Let's see what's going on under this severe famine. Yeah, go ahead, Katriel.
You also have to look at Joseph's character in regards to how he dealt with his family, right?
Exactly.
He's giving them gifts, just like Jacob did after he became a slave to Laban and left Laban and became rich and powerful. His brother Esau was coming at him, and what did he do? He gave him gifts.
Exactly.
Which pacified Esau's anger.
Exactly.
And Joseph, like the shoe was on the other foot, he has every right to be angry with his brothers, but he does what his father did. Instead of being
mm-hmm.
angry and going to war with them, he gives them
mm-hmm.
gifts.
Exactly. Exactly.
So maybe we should try that kind of strategy sometime.
I think so, Carter. As long as you ain't mess with no man's wife or husband, I guess you're okay. You mess with a man, wife, or husband, you can give them all the gift in the world. They don't want to rap. Okay.
Well, we talking family.
Yeah, family. That's family.
That's family.
Yeah, that's family.
Hopefully family ain't going to do that to you. They ain't going to do the Reuben move.
What you said, Katya? The Reuben move.
Yeah, the Reuben move.
The Reuben move. Yeah, we got a lot of Reuben movers now, Katya, unfortunately, because they don't know the fundamentals, because they don't know the codification. Because they don't know the antidote, we got a lot of Reuben move and Reubenesses, unfortunately. But we pray that they get it right, Katria, by virtue of these studies.
Praise
Thank
God.
You,
God. No doubt.
Praise God. Now there was no bread in the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Mizraim and conjunction the land of Canaan languished. It's the sect of Mizraim now because of the famine. Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Mizraim. He had got all the money in Mizraim. There was no more money left. They had used all their money to buy up this grain in the land and in the land of Canaan. For the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. When the money fell in the land, where anybody got no more money of Mizraim and conjunction in the land of Canaan, all the Mizraimites came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money, we ain't got no more money." That's what they're saying. We ain't got no more money. But why should we die? Then Joseph said, "Okay, give your livestock and I will give you bread for your livestock after money is gone." So they bought their livestock to Joseph. Now, who's taking care of these livestock?
His brothers.
Yep, my man. Bingo.
He set him up nicely.
Didn't he, though, brother? Prime position.
Set up so Pharaoh too, because Pharaoh's getting all that money.
Mm-mm. All day Pharaoh got money, but these men's got skills that he need, and they're good at what they do. We need to learn those kind of skills and be good at what we do. But when you have venal minds, you're scattered all over the place.
So think about that.
Uh-huh.
When they ran out of money, the next thing they had to offer was what?
Their livestock. Just like money, brother. Just like money.
Yes. Better than money. Better than money.
Hey, Cartrell, you remember Deion Sanders singing that song? Must be the money. Just like money. Just like Deion Sanders said.
Yeah, man. My grandchild's leaving. I got to say goodbye real quick.
Okay. Tell them I said shalom. We're letting, if you're a student, we're letting Contrail say goodbye to his grandbabies. We have common courtesy here. So, brace your nerves. You'll be all right. Cartrell, have you made it back? I guess he's still saying his goodbyes. I think I hear him coming back.
Yes.
I'm okay. Back. No, we were waiting on you. We were exercising common courtesy. All right.
Oh, appreciate that.
Yeah, we were waiting on you. I told the students that arrest their minds. You were saying goodbye to your family. We're going to exercise common courtesy and allow you to do that. Thank you, Cartrell.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he says, Joseph said, give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they bought their livestock to Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, we will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone, and my Lord also has our herds of livestock. There's nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. We ain't got nothing left. Why should we be dead before your eyes? These are Mizrenites, both we and our land. And they tell him, buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. Then Joseph bought all the land of Mizraim for Pharaoh. For every man of the Mizrenites sold his field because the famine was so severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the border of Mizraim to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh. And they ate the rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands. And Joseph said to the people, indeed, I bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here's seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth. The fourth-fifth shall be your own as seed for the field and as for your food, for those of your households, and as for food for your little ones. That was a fair offer. So they said, you have saved
our
life.
No, not only was it fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of ingenious, right?
It was ingenious. Fair.
Because they don't have anything. So all the money that Pharaoh had in his palace, I guess,
right,
he bought the land from the people. So now that puts
exactly
money back in the hands of the people, right, even though they don't have the
exactly
land.
Exactly.
But with that, they can work their own land, even though it's not, it belongs to Pharaoh now, but
right,
they can keep four-fifths and just give Pharaoh a fifth of it.
Yeah.
That's ingenious.
Unlike they did us in the Mississippi's, I think it was just the opposite. They took four-fifths and gave us a fifth.
If that.
Yeah. If
you
that
never,
got you.
You never got the 40 acres and a mule.
No. It's true. It's quite fair. It's quite equitable. And really, it was, as you said, it was ingenious. Because it kept things in perpetual motion as far as productivity was concerned. You know what I mean? Everybody made something. Everybody worked. Everybody had a part in it.
And the power that Pharaoh had, he could have just took the land. Y'all ain't
he
got
could
no money. Y'all give me the cattle. Give me the land. No, I'll
right
buy the land from you. So
mm-hmm
now they got money in their pocket. Plus, they can work their own land because he's giving them seeds.
Exactly. I always make something. Always have something.
We wish that today's politicians were as intelligent as Joseph.
Well, brother, keep wishing. Don't hold your
I
breath.
We young people. Yeah, I don't.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that one, my brother. There ain't no Joseph. Hey, I know Joseph. And senators, you ain't no Joseph. By virtue of our studies, we know Joseph. And senators and congressmen, y'all ain't no Josephs. Okay?
Not even close.
I think that guy's name was Lord Benson that said that in a presidential race. And I think that little young fellow that was on the Bush, it was saying something about Kennedy. And Lord Benson said, Senator Lord Benson, I know, Senator, I knew Senator Kennedy and blah, blah, blah. And you ain't no Senator Kennedy. So we said that in virtue of Joseph. We know those of our words of our studies. And those senators and congressmen are no Josephs. They have no insight. And it's and sad to say, they're not connected with the Elohim as Joseph was. Praise God.
So just imagine them being in charge of ancient Egypt in the story that we're reading now. Senators and Republicans and presidents.
Brother, wouldn't be no Mithraim. It would have ended very early. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They'd have been rioting in the streets and everything. Just like
it would have been what you call a hot mess and a monstrosity.
Oh, it's true, my brother. It's so, so true. Just like it is. So, and they say it's go ahead, Kasha.
We face the same cycles, though. And,
exactly.
Because of the solution that Joseph gave, they use that, but they use it to get enrich themselves.
That's the point, Kai. That's the big difference. Joseph was not trying to enrich himself. Joseph was looking out for the benefit of Pharaoh and the people.
And his family.
And his family. That was his motivation. If you don't have the right motivation, the outcome is not going to be right. And Joseph had the right motivations. These people don't have them right. They get into the make money. Because a lot of these politicians go into politics dirt poor. They come back, man, they billionaires. How's that? And you're such a politician. You're taking advantage of your position, the fact of your own nest. And they're taking advantage of their position, the fact of their own nest. Well, it's nothing new under the Roman concept of government. Nothing new. So that's why it's called a republic. So they said, you saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be pharaohs. And Joseph made it a law. Joseph made it a law over the land of Mizraim to this day. Joseph made it a law that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except for the land of the priests only, which did not become pharaohs.
So you see what they took from Joseph, right? They call that religious exemption.
Exactly. Exactly. The first thing came on my mind, Cottrell.
Uh-huh.
First thing that came to my mind, religious exemption.
But you can see, he wasn't greedy because he ain't taxing you 10 and 20%.
No.
5% is good.
Yeah, 5% is good.
If you got taxed 5% out of your paycheck,
right,
you would take a lot more money home.
Yeah, but you forget that 5%, okay?
It's more like 55%.
Well, when you consider all the taxes you pay for everything, yes, Contrail, there's a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Gasoline, groceries. Yeah, groceries.
I've seen a check where I got a certain amount gross.
Right.
After taxes, take home was half.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Look at God. I've seen a check that it seems like after 60 hours over, you might as well stop making money.
Yeah.
Overtime.
More overtime you make, the more taxes they take.
Yeah, because my check, if it was 50 or 60 hours, looked pretty nice. When I got paid 60 hours, I mean, it looked like they was taking over 60% of the money. You know.
That's why you got to be union.
Because
if you work 60 hours, you get benefits along with that money.
Exactly.
It's about just the money.
Exactly.
I feel bad for the people that are not unionized because employers take advantage of them.
They will cut you. And even sometimes when you're unionized and you got the wrong people up in the union that are taking advantage of the people in their under their domain, because that could be not work out for you too. You have to have the right people in the right place. Just in the case of Zoza being in the right place, you can have a union, but you can have the wrong union people in charge, and they can take advantage of you too.
And trust me, New York Carpentry Union is run by the mafia.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I believe it.
Ain't no belief. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have been indicted for racketeering and all kind of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I was a shop steward.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was as wicked as them, I could have used all the Social Security numbers that I collected on a daily basis to my advantage.
Right.
Like people do see my identity. But
you don't think like that.
Not even close.
Right. That's the whole point, Katya. A mind is has a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. They just can't see it like that. An evil, wicked mind does evil, wicked things. But a man that focuses on the God. Right. Go ahead, Katya.
They live in fear, and they're always looking over their shoulder.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who wants to live like that?
I certainly would.
What King David said, clean hands and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. I'll try to be guiltless as possible.
Exactly.
So I have to be living in fear and looking over my shoulder.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not a good, healthy way to live, Katya, so savvy, our fellow citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Looking over your shoulder.
That's the gangster life, right?
Yeah.
That's the gangster life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Living in fear and looking over your shoulder. You're looking for the police. You're looking for rival gang members. You're always looking on your shoulder.
Somebody,
living in fear.
Always looking for somebody to get up with you, Godrell. Thank you, Godrell.
I can't see myself sleeping with a gun under my pillow.
No. No. I'd be scared to shoot me in the head by accident. I got PTSD. I'm gonna shot myself in the head. Oh no, I ain't doing all that, boy.
But trust me, there's people that's fearful and they sleep with guns under their pillow or near their bed, somewhere near.
I ain't never been that fearful, Cartrell. Never been that fearful.
Only thing I take to sleep with me is, that's it.
It gives me peace of mind, Sister Abby.
I hear
you. Like a baby.
Yeah, I sleep like a baby. A baby that got back sores, but nevertheless, a baby. A baby with back pain.
But if your Isha is lighter than 150 pounds, tell her to walk on it.
Yes. Yes. Praise Yah, Katria.
Praise Yah.
And Joseph bowed to Yaqub. Yaqub is approaching his last days. And Joseph make a vow to him. So Israel slash Yaqub dwelt in the land of Mizraim in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions there. And grew, multiplied exceedingly. Yaqub lived in the land of Mizraim 17 years. So the length of Yaqub's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now if I found favor in your sight, now this is a solemn oath we used to do in our country. Not nobody else country I've ever heard. Now, probably maybe some other Semitic nations. But I know we used to do this if the oath was serious. He tells him, please put your hand under my thigh and deal truly with me. And he tells his son, please do not bury me in misery, but let me lie with my fathers. You should carry me out of misery. When y'all getting out, he know y'all going to get out of here one day. And bury me in their burial place. He said, so I will do as you said. And obviously he didn't do this himself per se, but he left that information by communication with his folks. And they knew what to do when it was time to get ghosts. So we need to learn how to communicate things that are constructive and are positive. I always say this, not no stupid stuff all the time. Stuff don't matter because it don't mean nothing. Joseph didn't do this per se, but obviously he left this information that everybody knew, every generation knew, that we can't leave him here. When we roll, he got to roll with us. That was a solemn vow. Well, Joseph was not to leave unchecked. And obviously he left instructions when they did leave to take his father's bones with him. And he said, I will do as you said. Then he said, he tells his sons, Israel, swear to me. And he swore to him. Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. He just, I mean, just imagine that in your mind's eye. Father and son, his vow. And Israel, Yaakov seems to be content with the vow. That he's not dead. Maybe he is dead. Bowed his head on the head of the bed. I think he's.
No, he's not dead yet.
Yeah, because I didn't see the dead part. So, but.
No.
I think we're
right.
Right.
He didn't get a chance to live 17 years with Joseph.
Right.
Before the time of his slow passing. But
exactly.
I think he mixed up the story a little bit because Joseph made the same request as Jacob to take his bones up out of Egypt. But we see that Jacob made it first. He made Joseph swear to him that he would take his bones up out of Egypt. This is Jacob speaking to Joseph.
Right.
Then Joseph makes the same request to his brothers. Before he died.
Okay. Well, see, we have come quite content in our land of captivity. we were going to be there in Bethel Cemetery. we don't leave instructions to take us nowhere. Bethel's the Sinai Cemetery. we need to have the same mindset. It's Joseph, Yaakov, I want to be with my people. I want to be in our land. I want to be under our control. But when you are complacent and content, you can care less about anything. These men cared about their remains. But we don't care.
And now, so.
Yes, brother.
Check this out.
Okay.
How much foresight did our father, Jacob Israel, have? Because what do they do in Egypt today with burial sites?
They raid them. They raid them. So, yeah, he has great foresight. It don't have to be in Mizraim to raid a tomb. Okay. They're good at raiding tombs, Cadrill.
And displaying mummies, dead bodies in museums.
Yeah, that's cold. They become complacent and used to that. That's common for them to do that. That's not the way you should do. You should not display people's remains in a museum and think that's right. But under the Republic, I guess you could do what you want to do. But that's immoral to display one's remain. I don't want to see nobody mummy. That's somebody's remains. It should be on public display. That's disgusting. But we become complacent. We don't know what's right. And that's why we study Katria, Sister Avial, fellows. We need to know what's right and what's wrong. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And Katria is so right. Joseph was astute. Yaakov was astute as to the future of the way they treat the Mizraimites. They didn't want to be there. They knew something was coming along. Some people coming along didn't mind putting you in an English museum or a so-called American museum, a British museum, Australian museum, a London museum, and think it's okay. That's cute. That's disgusting. Praise God and bless his holy name. Cartrell.
And making big bucks off it in the meantime.
Yeah, you better believe it. You better believe it. But you let somebody go up there and take George Washington. You go up there and take Abraham Lincoln. You go up there and take Elvis Presley. It's going to be some problems. Oh, it's okay to do everybody else like that. But you know it ain't right to do you like that. So why is it right to do them like that?
Because they're black.
Bingo. Bingo.
That's what they say. Hamites.
Hey, what did they say in the Godfather Cartrell? When the heads of the families, Gambinos and whatnot, were deciding to sell drugs in the so-called black community. Give it to the colors. They don't sell it in our name. Give it to the colors. They ain't got no souls anyway. They still feel the same way.
You know what the Italians call us?
What's that, Contrio?
And I work with the mafia in New York City as a carpenter.
Right.
You know what the Italians call us? They call us moolies. Moolies.
Give it to the moolies.
Yeah, I don't know what moolie means, but it can't be good.
Yeah, come on, bro. It ain't a nice name, whatever it means. Because when you call somebody at the school for what their names are, if they're not Shemitic, if they're not Hebrew Israelites, if they're not Asher, Nephilite, and so on and so forth, Reuben, Judah, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, and you calling somebody out of the scope of that, you're not calling them what they're supposed to be called. You're making up some bogus name to call them. You call people what they said they are, not what you want to make out of old nasty name. So you know, Katria, as you said, it ain't pretty, whatever they say.
Just the vibration of it alone lets you know it ain't no good. Moolah. What the hell is a
moolah? Yeah, it don't sound nice, Katria. Moolah. It don't sound nice, Katria. All right. Katria, my brother and friend. So Savia, my sister and friend. May the Most High direct in all your steps. And may he bless you with wisdom and understanding. You have the mics.
I'm good too.
With the lesson we learned, because you could pick up a lot from Joseph, you could pick up a lot from Jacob, you could pick up a lot from his brothers and his family, how they corrected themselves, how Joseph and Jacob conducted themselves. Maybe if we tried some of their techniques and strategies, our life would be better, especially dealing with the land. We so city-fied, we don't know what it's like to be a farmer. To deal with sheep and goat and horses and things of that nature.
I love horses.
But,
I love horses.
Me too.
I was in Puerto Rico, Cartrail, when I was stationed there in Rosie Road, Puerto Rico. We had caught a wild horse. I'm the only one to wild. It dumped me a couple of times, but I'm persistent. I got back on that horse. I was riding like the Lone Rangers. Yeah, I love these horses. Hey, what you laughing at, Abby?
Urban cowboy.
I love horses. I love the smell of them. I love the way they are. I just love horses. You know what I mean?
They're amazing animals. They're an amazing animal. They will serve men with all the power that they have.
Exactly.
What makes me marvel at them is how can they run at the same speed that they run with all that weight on their back?
Exactly.
Whether it be a human being.
Yeah, because their body design is very perfect for the Most High wants them to do. Just like we're very perfect for what the Most High designed us to do. We just don't do the design. Animals can teach you a lot about fundamentals, Cartrell. Fundamentals.
But it shows Genesis. The Most High gave mankind dominion over the animals of the earth, right? Because a horse is like 1,000 pounds more powerful than a human being. But he submits himself. He submits himself to men.
Right, by a simple rein, a little bit in his mouth and a rein on him. You can get him to go left, right. You can get him to stop. He'll run himself to death if you keep pushing. Yeah.
Full control.
Yeah.
They're amazing beasts. They're amazing animals.
Beautiful beasts. Beautiful beasts. If you don't love them, don't deal with them. If you don't care, if you're a brutal beast to man, don't deal with animals. It's going to reflect in your character. It's going to reflect in the way you treat animals if you're a brute man. You don't mess with animals if you're a brute, because it's going to reflect in how you treat them. It's just that simple.
And they pick up on your vibe. They pick up on your spirit quicker than we can pick up on other people's spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. They can feel your vibrations. Yeah, they can feel your vibrations. Mm-hmm. They can feel your vibrations. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, fellow students, I want to thank Cartrell. I want to thank Sister Abby. I want to thank you for listening and studying with us. Most important, I want to thank the LOM. But we're not done yet. Cartrell has the last segment of his study he's about to share with us. Please listen up and please meditate on what he's saying. And matter of fact, go back after the show. Reread it. Matter of fact, burn the midnight oil with it. Praise the Most High. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And believe me, if you do that, you might find peace, you might find serenity, you might find the Most High, because we're in the mind of a great king, King David. We're exactly. So blessed that he wrote this stuff down in the form of songs, but that's the spirit of our people. We're poetic, write a lot of songs, we like music. And what's the title of this particular psalm, Psalms 19? I think
the perfect revelation of the LOM, the perfect complete revelation, the complete revelation of the LOM to the chief musician, a psalm of King David.
So, Yamsu, if you're telling me that there was revelations before the book of Revelation?
You better believe it.
Okay. So King David had prophetic ability because he was anointed close to the Most High. And we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for our King, King David, and the wisdom, knowledge, understanding that he dropped on us, that he left behind. Psalm 19, verse 1. King David says, the heavens declare the glory of Yah. Is that true?
Exactly.
He's about to go in spring, like clockwork, right? Got the winds of March. You're going to have the April showers. But it's like clockwork. You down south, I know you see the stars better than we do in New York City. And
exactly.
I've been on the ocean, and when you look at the stars, you get lost. I was trying to look for the Big Dipper when I was in a boat. I'm like, ain't no way.
Yeah,
look for the North Star.
I've been in the sea, and as on the ocean as you, on several different occasions. And it's just a beautiful, calm, as the waters are calm, it's just beautiful, calm, and serene, country. It's just, you know, if you had an opportunity, take advantage. You just sit on the deck of a big ocean liner and just take in the whole encompass of the Most High creation. It's just beautiful.
Which is why every day of life is so precious. And, I mean, got to give praise to him for his works.
Praise
he had God. No control of the sun, the season, nope. The moon, the stars. Y'all control that. And
exactly.
He's consistent with it. That's the glory of it.
Exactly.
It says the expanse shows his handiwork. There goes Big Bang. There goes scientific theory, theory of evolution.
Hmm.
No, the expanse shows Yah's handiwork. Day after day, thankful after speech. It ain't better, because if tomorrow don't come, we all dead.
Mm-hmm.
And night after night, they display knowledge. So every day we're supposed to teach you something. There is no speech, no language, but their voice is not heard. So everybody that's alive on the planet, every nation, you have to marvel at how Yah controls the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the rain, the snow, the wind, the fire, the oceans. Any language. Their voice has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them, he has set a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his room. It's like a strong man rejoicing to run his course. He is going out from the ends of the heaven, his circuit to its end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. So you see that the sun is portrayed in a masculine form. And as he says, sun rejoices like a man running his course. Yah's law is perfect. Restoring the soul. Can y'all restore soul?
You better
yes, you do. The only one that can do that.
I'm banking on it.
If you follow. Huh?
I'm banking on it, my brother. I'm banking on it.
So King David be dropping these hints. And some people may read that, restoring your soul, you take a glass of water after you drank, now you refresh. No. Restoration of the soul. But how's that going to happen? You have to follow Yah's law perfectly. Or his commands, or his way, or his will, He know we're not perfect, but the way that he made is perfect. We got to get ourselves together in order to walk that way. So Yah's law is perfect, which means that if you follow it, it's going to restore your soul. Yah's covenant is sure. It's everlasting. It's like diamonds. It's like gold. Anything that's forever, because this covenant is forever, is never old, and it's really never new. It's forever. Yah's covenant is sure. Making wise the simple. So if you don't know Yah's covenant, you better find out what it is, because it's going to make you wise. It says Yah's covenant is sure. It makes wise the simple. And if you don't understand it in full, you need to join us every night on a Real Talk for Real People talk show, because we go through it from Genesis to Malachi. Yah's precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. Yes, if you know, your heart should be glad. You should be able to sleep in peace like a newborn baby. Yah's commandment is pure, enlightening eyes. That's why we go over these words, these teachings, because we want our eyes to be enlightened in a time of darkness, in a time of lies, in a time of deceit, in a time of deception. Your eyes should be enlightened when you follow Yah's commands and follow Yah's laws or seek them out. The fear of Yah is clean, enduring forever. Oh, they got that word again. Yah's ordinances are true and righteous altogether. They are more to be desired than gold, yes. Much fine gold. We talked about gold because gold is forever too. But Yah's word, Yah's ordinances, Yah's commands, Yah's covenant is better than gold. And it can't be replaced. Right? We're going to replace this old gold with this new gold. New Testament? Old Testament? No. The Old Testament is forever. It's more precious than gold, Yah's word. Sweeter also than honey and the extract of a honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned by them. You should have Yah's word in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, so that you are warned and don't slip, you know, into darkness or go to the left or go to the right. Here's the key right here. In keeping them, there is great reward. He already expounded on the great reward. Restoring the soul, making the wise simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, having the fear of Yah.
Yes. You can defer payments.
Be quiet,
Alexa. Shut down for 6 months.
Alexa,
shut down.
Go ahead, Godrell. That's okay. Who can discern his errors? Forgive me from my hidden errors. So nobody's perfect. That's what King David's saying. Even though Yah's law is perfect, no man is perfect. And we all have errors and sins and even hidden ones that we don't even know. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. That's just being out there arrogant and doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. That's presumptuous. Let them not have dominion over me. Here, control yourself. You have to conquer yourself in these presumptuous ways, impulsive ways. He says, then I will be upright when I'm able to control and have dominion over myself. I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Excuse me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Yah, my rock and my redeemer. So not only was King David concerned about what he said, he was concerned about his meditations too. He wanted his meditations to be pleasing to Yah and also the words of his mouth. Because your mind could take you anywhere because nobody can get in there. And you could hide, like, wicked thoughts in your heart or whatever. But you don't want that. You want to meditate on the things that's going to restore your soul, make you wise, rejoice your heart, enlighten your eyes. Because you want to endure forever, fearing Yah. So King David was brilliant. And it's an honor to be able to get into his thoughts, his thought process, and how he related in his life to the Most High, which caused him to be blessed and renowned in all of history. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
I think what Katria has shared with us in these studies. He broke it down for us like we're 4 years old. Don't take offense. Basically like you're a novice. And so you can grasp and understand what is going on here, what the Most High is saying here. Will work for you here. And I like the fact he pointed out that the most important thing someone controls is itself. Controlling oneself, self-control. Letting no sin have dominion on him, presumptuous sins, anything else in that matter. Control of oneself is the most important. You're trying to control other folks. Stop trying to control other folks. Control yourself. That's going to work. You controlling me ain't going to do nothing for you. You controlling yourself would maintain and do a lot for you in your relationship with the Elohim. Perhaps can have your soul restored for his name's sake. Don't you think so? I do. Mm-hmm. Praise God and bless his holy name. Thank you, Christ.
And we know so, based on the story of Joseph and his brothers. Had mm-hmm. they had this counsel and this wisdom and advice, they wouldn't have been so concerned with Joseph.
Yes, indeed.
Exactly. Bingo, Katria, bingo. So, Stavia, now that you understand, you got any remarks about that?
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is I sure love King David. He's the best composer of songs that I ever have read. Yeah, he suits me just fine. I praise God.
It sounds like you're trying to take my place in his number one fan club.
Oh, don't worry about it. There's enough song for all of us.
There you go.
Godreal, I beg to differ. We have strong contention for that slot.
No. I've been in that slot longer than you, bro. I've been in that slot longer than you. You got me through when I was 14 years old. Trust me, he got me through. King David,
although
my man.
I think you're two months older than me. Yes, perhaps you got me by 2 months.
Yes, sir. And I refuse to give up my seat. Trust me.
I know.
I love this man. I love this man.
We all should love your country. Because this man, as you always indicate, have led so many tidbits of information. You would be ludicrous not to pick up on what he's saying and the information he left for you. Because he wants you to get it fundamentally right with the Elohim and with one another. Praise the Most High.
Praise God.
Fellow students, we're getting ready. Now that you're finding out what's going on, what you going to do about it? That's our question. I mean, you cannot unstudy something once you've studied it. What are you going to do about it? Praise the LOL. Contrails for Stavia, any closing remarks and comments?
Before I forget this one thing, I might not make it on tomorrow, but I might.
Okay.
But if I don't, you know, I'll be returning Monday. And I just want to say to the family, I love you just like y'all love you. I hope we learn to teach you to treat each other right and seek Yah, obey Yah, and always praise Yah. Shalom and good night.
We love you too, sister. Shalom and good night.
We love you, sister, and may the Most High bless and be with you. Yah willing, we'll hear your voice tomorrow. And you said it, Yasu.
Yes, brother.
What they going to do? You don't hear it? You can't unhear it? My father always used to say, action speak louder than words.
Yes,
you can't unlearn it once you heard it. Now it's time for action. We hope.
Exactly, brother. Now it's time for action. Cartrell said a mouthful with that one. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Praise Yah.
Thank Yah for giving us the strength to be able to bring his word forth because it's refreshing. It helps us to be more like King David. He shared it with us. We need to share it with others. Each one teach one. We just hope everybody learns the lesson and gets it right in time because this is the preparation before judgment goes down. So we love y'all. May the Most High bless and be with y'all. Shalom and good night.
As Cartrell said, we love y'all. Shalom and good night and preparation. get prepared. Shalom and good night again.
Got it.